You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I'm the best.
Oh, I'm not reading all that shit.
Today, we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 17th season of Doctor Who, The Creature from the Pit, which consists of four episodes that aired from October 27th, 1979 to November 17th, 1979.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You're a meme! You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr. Or medium.com/@mgolden, I believe. I don't know where he's most prominent.
To be honest, I don't know how Medium works. Is it, do you get like a...
You get a buck for every subscriber that you convince to subscribe to you.
I don't think that's accurate.
You get $1 for every letter you put inside of your post.
I don't think that's accurate, too.
You might think,
either.
Like, oh, I wrote a whole thing, but, like, you, the most you can get is 26. $26. Because it doesn't count duplicates.
Right.
That's how Medium works. No, Medium is when you write stories that you get from the spirits. So you channel the spirits into your posts. Thus, you are
I meant,
the
like, how URLs work when you're searching for a specific person.
I remember it was weird because I thought it was just medium.com/mgolden, but no, it's medium.com/@mgolden, which is
and maybe that's
weird,
just,
and who the hell does that?
Maybe that's what Matt just put in his username.
He just put the at in his username?
Yeah.
He could have. I don't know. I've not been around Medium long enough, but I'm pretty sure it is you are channeling spirits, right? Why
no.
else would you call it Medium?
Listen.
Oh, it's the font size.
Doctor Who.
Font width?
Doctor Width? Doctor Who!
Like the thickness is what I meant. Not the width, the thickness. Font thickness.
The way you just caressed the
font
air
weight.
When you said thickness was disgusting.
All right. Okay, let's talk about Doctor Who.
Okay.
But before we get started, I want to keep it streamlined as possible. I know there's a lot of things that we tend to go off on tangents, and there's a lot of silly things to talk about in this serial, but I just want to say up front, no dicking around.
God. Is this going to be... So this is the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to cock it up.
It's not going to get any better from this point.
Penis.
That's it. You're done. You're out. We haven't even gotten to it yet. And you're already fucking out of phallic references for the podcast. You're out. You used them all up right at the beginning.
I blew it? Oh, man, that sucks.
You really want to do this?
Yes. Let's do our oral report.
You really want to shoot your rod this early in the podcast?
Oh, come on. All right, let's do it. Let's talk about The Creature from the Pit, which has nothing to do with penises. Episode 1, which I've called Attack of the Killer Brussels Sprouts.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
The Brussels Sprouts.
I gotta imagine that the designer for this episode, like the props and monster designer
was
or whatever.
Was fired.
There's at least three things, four things actually, now I'm thinking about it, that are all just terrible designs. Well, not terrible. Like, I like the Wolfweeds, but they kind of look like balls.
Okay, but like... Most sphere-shaped things do.
Yeah, but they're kind of hairy. They got a little... Anyway, we're jumping ahead a little bit. We start off with these people gathered around a pit.
This episode is called The Creature from the Pit. And, like, it opens on the pit. And when we were watching it, I was like, this pit kind of sucks. I was expecting a much nicer pit since it was, like, in the title. It's a pretty small pit. But there is a creature in it.
Well, when the guy gets thrown into the pit, it's a lot deeper.
It's a deep pit. It's not a wide pit.
It's all about the depth.
Okay.
This guy blows a horn. He's got a big, giant horn that he blows into that plays synth music.
It sure does.
We get our first look at who we'll later learn is Lady Adastra, or Adrastra? I don't know. It sounded a lot like Lady... What was Romana's name before she was Romana? Lady Astra? But it's Adastra. Adrastra.
Completely different.
Yeah. But she and her assistant, whose name I'm forgetting, it's like Corella. Yeah, it is Corella. Both do this, like, hand gesture thing next to their face before they throw people into the pit that I think is fun. I always enjoy the, like, alien gestures. They just do a hands up next to their face. And also, Lady Adrasta has the coolest makeup.
She's got, like, a big flower outlined on her face. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it outlines her face.
And she's got silver all around the outside.
Not Alan's, frames her face. That's what I was
frames,
say.
Yeah.
And they chuck a dude into a pit. And then we cut to the inside of the TARDIS. Romana is cleaning up. K-9 is reading a book to the doctor.
Much to my complete and utter dismay. It's awful.
I mean, the idea of the scene is funny, I think. It's just the fact that K-9's voice...
K-9's being voiced by someone different here. Which is fine and really not that big of a deal. But, like, when the scene started, I was like... Who is that? That's not K-9.
Who is that?
Yes. Do you have an answer to that question?
Oh, yeah. It's right here on the tip of my tongue. Obviously, I know who replaced K-9, which was John Leeson originally. And now it is, of course, David Brierley.
Which is fine. He did a fine job. I just don't like change very much.
He's more...
He's a little bit more sassy.
A little more lilty, too.
Yeah. Yes.
He's less robotic, I feel like.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, he's fine. And he's reading the Dr. Peter Rabbit, I believe. And the doctor's really into it. And then Romana spoils the ending. But she is wanting to get rid of some junk that she found in the TARDIS. It includes a large ball of twine, which was gifted to the doctor from Greek dudes.
From Greek dudes. He got it. He used it to get through the...
labyrinth.
The labyrinth that the Minotaur is in.
And he was very upset because, like, they were going to use my scarf. So it's a good thing I had this twine.
Which is something that actually the Fifth Doctor does later. Will do.
With a Minotaur?
No, actually with the TARDIS.
Oh. And he says, you can't throw that away. Then she's like, well, what about this? It's literally just the jawbone of an ass. He's like, don't be a Philistine. That's a Bible reference. Samson.
I don't read the Bible enough.
Samson defeated a whole army of Philistines with the jawbone of an ass.
Yeah, that's not knowledge I had ready to go.
Well, that's what that reference was. And he's like, you can't throw that away. He puts it in his pocket. And then she's like, well, what's this thing? He's like, oh, that's just junk. And then K-9's like, it's a piece of the TARDIS that sends and receives distress signals. And she's like, that's important. And then I was like, I've never needed to send a distress signal. And she's like, well, you can receive them. He's like, all right, fine, plug it in. And here is the first prop that looks weird. It does. It kind of looks like a tit.
Oh my god. You are so dirty minded. It's a dome.
With a nipple. It's got a nipple. It looks kind of tittish.
It doesn't.
It does.
It doesn't look like a tit. It's dome shaped. Are you going to pull up a picture?
Yeah. I'm going to pull up a GIF even.
I don't think it looks... It does have a light on the end, doesn't it?
That would be a robot boob. Easily.
Okay, here's the thing though.
Yeah.
If there were two of them...
I didn't say it was tits. I said it was a tit. A singular
I'm just saying, I feel like you
tit.
Only feel like it looks like a tit because of what happens later on in the episode.
No, I thought it was a tit when we first saw it. I made a joke about it.
Here's a thing that I know for a fact.
Yeah?
At least one person is cringing so hard because he hates the word tit. And it's
Chris Cherry.
It's Chris Cherry. He wants this part of the podcast to be over.
We wrote a whole big chunk of Road Trippy that involves the word tit. And he was just like, I mean, it has to be in the book, but I don't like that word.
Which is fair. I feel like I can say it.
I don't mind tit as much as I mind tits.
That's true.
I don't know why.
Here's the thing. I don't like certain people saying tits. I think it's a funny word, but then you hear somebody say it and you're like, Right. It's funny when I say it. You can say it, I guess.
And I feel like tit's always just funnier. Just a singular tit. Whereas tits sounds dirty. But tit just sounds funny.
All right.
We've talked about this for too long.
We've absolutely, absolutely talked about this for too long.
Sorry. We're just a couple of boobs.
Stop.
Well, okay, so she plugs it in. It is an MK3 emergency transceiver. And then it immediately causes the entire TARDIS to tilt and they fall down and everything goes wibbly wobbly. Making just for this, I noticed Tom Baker pulls the coat rack down on top of him. Yeah, to add a little bit more realism to the scene. Nice.
I do remember at this point in the serial that we both were like, I don't like her outfit. Normally we like Romana's outfit, and I don't like this one. She had on like a jacket or something?
It was like an I think it was like because she was cleaning.
Oh.
It was like an apron or something.
She took
it was
that
like
off,
red and white stripes.
And underneath she had a super cute outfit. And we were like, ah.
I have thoughts about that. Her outfit underneath is just a white dress with like a pink
like
band.
Belt, yeah.
And it looks very similar to the previous Romana. This was the first serial she filmed as Romana.
Oh.
And also she said she didn't care for the outfit because she felt it was too much like the last Romana. And she also was like, I don't feel like I had the character down very well. Which is weird because I felt like this was the first serial where I was like, oh yeah, she's got it now. There was like a lot of moments where I was like, that's good. That's good. And I think it's because it was playing more to the previous Romana.
To the Romana you know and love.
Yeah. But she didn't particularly think she was good in this one because it was her first one. And I feel weird about that because I liked her a lot.
This is the first one you liked her a lot?
Yeah. Oh, so the next thing, they land on this planet. The thing was receiving a distress signal. And they go to the planet and they park in front of this giant, and I was like, it's like a giant boulder looking thing. And Tony just went, egg!
I did. I shouted egg immediately. And guess what? I was right.
Yeah,
sort of. It's not an egg, but the doctor...
It's definitely a shell.
Yeah, the doctor does. Shortly after I said egg, the doctor said egg. And
he
taps
it with a teaspoon.
Aha!
He paps it with a teaspoon, and then he goes, it's an egg! Which is not the first time the doctor will declare something an egg. Well, it's the first time, but not the last time.
But not the last.
And then he says it's metallic, and also...
alive.
Very Ian. Just when I feel like I've finally gotten over Ian not being on the show anymore... Something happens that just reminds me of how dumb he was and how much I miss him.
So dumb, and I loved him so much.
And then they're just like talking about, if it's an egg, that must be a pretty big bird. The doctor says something about stands to reason. Romana scoffs at this and walks off. And then the doctor does like a whole stand-up routine for himself about the phrase stands to reason. And he's like, stands to reason, what a terrible phrase. Like, why can't you lie down to reason? Lying down while, it's easier to reason while lying down. Just like to an audience of no one.
Just for him.
But he isn't quite alone. Because this is where the wolf weeds come in.
They're so cute. They're like little angry Brussels sprouts that try to eat you.
How big would you say they are? Because like, we say Brussels sprouts and you think...
Small. No, they're like the size of like a dog. Like a big dog.
Yeah.
They're the size of a medium-sized dog.
They're the size of a medium-sized big dog.
What does that mean?
They're the size of a medium.com/@dog.
I don't even... It's just a reference to the thing we were talking about earlier, but it's not a joke.
It makes about as much sense as anything we've said so far.
That is fair.
But they are called wolf weeds, and this S&M looking fella comes up and snaps his whip at him. He's got a whip and he's in black leather.
Is he in black leather?
I don't know.
He's not! You made that! He has a whip. End of list.
I'm pretty sure he's all in black, too.
Do not think that he is. I think you are hella embellishing this in your mind.
Well, he's definitely got something going on. He's got a big old... He's got a great big bushy beard.
He's got a nice hat.
You can't really see in this picture.
He just pulled up a bust. Look at... search images! Like a...
The bust was earlier.
Goddamn.
That's the only picture of the huntsman that I can find. But yeah, he's got a whip and he's the huntsman.
And that's it.
He controls the wolf weeds, and he gets them off of the doctor, and the doctor's like, did you get those off of me? And he's like, yes. And he's like, well, thank you. And then the huntsman goes, kill him. And the doctor's like, wait, what? He's like, I said kill him.
It's just bad for the wolf weeds diet. It's not what they wanted. It's not that they wanted the Doctor not to die.
Yeah.
It's just, like, once they get a taste for flesh, it's a whole thing.
It's, they're just looking out for the wolf weeds.
Yeah. Oh.
There's more than just the huntsman. There's, like, these guards, too. And they have, like, these really impractical swords. They're, like, super long. And they look heavy as hell. And they always hold them up here, but they go, like, they hold them at, like, chest height. But they go, like, way above their heads. They're kind of ridiculous. But they're about to hit him with it. And Corella, who is sort of the... There's going to be, like, a queen-esque character. And she's sort of, like, the Jafar. She's sort of the right-hand person to this queen that's coming up.
The Iago.
And the bird?
She's the right-hand man to Jafar.
No, I'll... Well,
she's
yeah.
the bird.
Well, Jafar is the right-hand man to the Sultan.
Yeah, but he's not bad.
That's true. That's fair. But there, in this scenario, there is no Sultan. There's just Jafar and Iago. But she orders that the Doctor not be killed. She questions the Doctor and says, like, why are you in the place of death? And he's like, the place of death? Why is it called the place of death? And she's like, anyone we find here gets sentenced to death. And he's like, that's an interesting name.
This starts actually a running gag of everybody here is very bad at naming things. So the pit, there's a scene later where it's like, this is the pit we throw things into. And the Doctor's like, what's it called? And she's like, the pit. She's like, and the Doctor's like, is there something in the pit? And she's like, yeah, we call it the creature. The Doctor's like, you guys are awful at this.
To be fair, that's actually split up a bit because the Doctor asks first about the pit. And she says the pit. And he's like, ah, very imaginative. And then there's like a scene way later where Romana's like, what's the thing in the pit called? And she's like, we call it the creature. And she's like, ah, very imaginative. So it's a more of a running gag. And it's like everybody calling him out for terrible naming.
Which is just a lampshade. I see you.
Corella also calls Romana the Doctor's commander. Because she's like, points to the TARDIS and is like, your commander said this is your vessel. He's like, my commander? And then like it pans over to Romana who just waves. He's like, ah. That commander, yes. So he doesn't go, what? No. He's like, okay, yeah, sure, it's definitely Romana.
He does later. Later, someone says commander again, and he says companion.
Oh, right, that's true, he does. But they are both taken prisoner, and they're going to be taken to Lady Adrasta, and the Doctor is put in stocks, is that what you call them?
I think so, yeah.
Yoke, is that another thing?
Yeah.
Because there's a yoke joke later.
A yoke joke?
The yoke joke. They're walking through the woods and we see they're being watched by these dirty boys. In the Wikipedia there, and I believe in the episode they're referred to as the bandits, but I refer to them as the dirty boys.
The dirty boys?
Yeah. Doctor Who and the Dirty Boys. I was in a band called Doctor Who and the Dirty Boys.
I love that band.
I played tambourine. So they get attacked by these bandits who kidnap Romana. But that's about it. They knock out a couple guards, take Romana, steal some stuff, and leave. And they don't get the Doctor or anything. Oh, there's also like one shot where one of the bandits grabs the guard. He grabs his head and slowly pulls him down. But it like looks like he's just affectionately hugging a friend.
Just the head?
Just the head. He's just like, aw, hi, buddy. And then slowly sinks down. It doesn't look like violent at all. But they take Romana and they're like, the Doctor's like, well, we need to go get her. And they're like, nah, they'll just kill her. It's fine. We don't need her.
If they're lucky, they'll kill her quick.
Which is a line that is said twice in this episode at different points. And then we see the leader of the bandit. Well, not really the leader. He thinks he's the leader. His name is Torvald.
I actually really like this scene where he's introduced, because he's telling everybody what to do. Everybody's kind of listening until, like, they disagree, and they're like, well, you're not in charge. We're going to put it to a vote. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Democracy.
Of course, I love democracy. Go ahead, put it to a vote. Which is, like, a fun dynamic to establish right off the bat. This character's basically an idiot, but mm-hmm. he's the smartest idiot.
Well, actually, most of his ideas aren't too bad in the long run. But he really loves metal. That's the whole thing. Like, metal's sort of like currency.
It's super rare on this planet, and so it's very valuable.
And the thing that they disagree with him about is, like, they're like, we got this lady. And he's like, what do I care? She made out of metal? No? Then kill her. Don't want her. They're like, well, we can't. What if we ransom her? And he's like, no, that's too much hassle. Like, that'll just fuck things up worse. Just kill her. And then that's when they're like, you're not our leader. We'll put it to a vote. Meanwhile, the Doctor is brought to the palace or whatever and is waiting to meet Lady Adrasta. He complains of having an itchy nose, and he can't scratch it because he's in those stocks. And so he asks one of the guards to scratch his nose for him.
Which the guard does.
Yeah, well, first he scratches his own nose, and the Doctor's like, no, not your nose, my nose. And he comes out and he scratches one side, and he's like, oh, other side. And then he scratches the other side.
That. My nose is
and okay. The Doctor is getting his nose scratched, and he leans in, and he sneezes and hits both of these guards with his stocks, and then tries to escape.
Is it stocks? Stocks?
Stock? Yoke? I don't know. I don't know terms. It's that thing where you put your head inside of the thing and your arms inside of the thing, and, you know, it's that. Like, I googled stocks and I saw pictures of that, but it was like, all of them were like the ones that are like on.
Yeah, but you're saying stocks.
No, I'm saying stock. I'm Southern and lazy. Stock. Like a photo.
Okay, got it.
Not like a vegetable or you're following someone. But he is stopped from escaping by Lady Drosta, who takes him out of the stock.
Stock.
And she wants to know about the egg, because he's looked at the egg. The bandits, meanwhile, have voted. They throw some pieces into two different bowls. And they voted to kill Romana. But she talks her way out of it. Like, just being the boss.
By the way, did it seem like he fixed the vote?
Yeah, it seemed like he fixed it a little bit.
Okay.
Because no one else really wants to kill her. And he's like, oh, we voted. I don't know how he fixed it, but I wouldn't put it past him. She says that basically, if they kill her, then the other people will be after him and will want revenge or whatever.
Which, that's not exactly what she says. She says, if, because they think that she's a lady-in-waiting or something. They think that she's somebody important to, like, the court nonsense. And she's like, if that's true, then that'll only make them mad. It's not true, of course.
Like, right.
Is what she says.
He's like, kill her, and they're like, she's like, untie me. And then they start untying her. And then she literally says, sit. And everyone sits. And that was like when I was like, I like this Romana.
Dude, this is great. Yeah. That scene was fun.
She has to tell the Torvin, the leader guy, to sit twice. But he sits too.
She just completely takes control of the situation.
And she pulls out a dog whistle. And there everybody's like, whoa, what is that? And she's like, well, here, blow on it. And then one of the guys gets it and, like, blows through, like, the little key ring on the other end. And they're all just taking turns trying to blow on it, but they're doing it really badly. And then Torvin gets it, and he actually blows on it. He's like, I don't hear anything. She's like, well, try it again. And then we cut to K-9, like, oh, God.
She can't.
Never get a rest.
K-9's like, I'm coming, I'm coming.
Coming, mistress. Coming. He sounds so annoyed. Back at Lady Adrasta's, the Doctor says that the egg is screaming and probably has a big mummy. By the pyramids, how big must that mummy be? And then she brings out her sort of smart people. Her
scientists.
Yeah, they're not really scientists, though. I don't think they
call them
science.
Engineers.
Engineers? Not scientists, though.
What do you think an engineer is?
They engineer things. But they're like, no, it's not an egg. It's a temple. And it can't be an egg. And he's like, it's an egg. And they're like, well, how do you explain, like, the heat that it puts off? And he's like, someone tried to fry it. But the Doctor definitely has some information that these guys don't have, which Lady Adrasta is like, he has more information than you. Why didn't you give me this information? What does he have that you don't have? And the Doctor says, a teaspoon and an open mind.
So when the Doctor says that, there was this moment when we were watching it that I was like, a teaspoon and an open mind. What is that? Why is that ringing a bell? And I pieced it together. Teaspoon and an open mind. It has fan fiction on it. It's a place where people post fan fiction.
Is it all Doctor Who fan fiction or is it any fan fiction?
I'm pretty sure it's all Doctor Who fan fiction. I don't remember.
She's also like, because you didn't know more than the Doctor, I'm going to throw you guys into the pit. And meanwhile, K-9 arrives at the bandit tent, the Dirty Boy's tent, and everyone freaks out because he's made of metal. They're like, oh, jackpot. But they're also, like, terrified of him because he's, like, moving around and talking. And Torvin goes to attack it because he wants that metal. And K-9 shoots him. Not dead, just unconscious. And she's like, leave me alone. Peace out. And they leave. So everybody goes to the pit. One of the engineers is thrown into the pit. where he sees a glowing green thing. We don't see it yet, but it glows green, we know that. And then Romana arrives, and K-9 shoots a guard into the pit, and Romana's like, good boy, K-9. But then K-9 gets attacked by the wolf weeds. Like, immediately Romana thinks he's dead. Lady Adastra says he's dead. It's super sudden, though. Like, I feel like she's immediately just, like, in full-on mourning mode. Like, immediately.
Yeah. It's also, I don't know, the performance is wonky. She just says, K-9! K-9! Like, it's odd.
And then fully buy it. She's like, you will help me figure out this egg thing. And the doctor runs and jumps into the pit. He grabs, like, there's a rope, and he grabs it, and he goes down the pit. And the rope just, like, completely runs out. And that's the cliffhanger. Is everybody looking into the pit as he falls down?
A cliffhanger where the doctor's just like, I'm just gonna jump into the danger. Bye! Is a pretty good cliffhanger.
That's the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I've called A Monopoly of Metal. The doctor didn't go all the way down the bottom. He's hanging on the side. And Romana sees him and he's like, shh. So since he's in the pit, Adastra's like, well, you seem to be comparable to the doctor, Romana. You'll help me. Let's go. While they're having this conversation, the doctor is doing all sorts of dumb bits while hanging onto the side of this pit wall. He's, like, hammering in, like, a, what do you call him? A piton? Is that what it's called?
A
piton?
It?
Yeah, I think so. Piton? I don't know.
If you say so.
He's like, hammering stuff in. He, like, pulls out a book on how to, like, do rope climbing, or, like, mountain climbing. And he's like, it's in Tibetan! So he holds that book in one hand and pulls out another book. Smashes it against his face so he can open it, and it's Teach Yourself Tibetan. Ridiculous.
Very silly. I enjoyed it.
And then he says something in Tibetan, and he translates it into English, which is Do Not Be Afraid. Which is, I feel like it was trying to be, like, you know, epic at that point or whatever, but it's just so silly. It's hard to take seriously.
No, it's definitely a joke.
They leave with K-9, who's all webbed up. Lady Adastra wants that medal. And she kicks some dirt into the pit, which hits the doctor in the face, which causes him to fall. And he's got, like, his scarf, like, attached to the
He's got, like, a carabiner.
Pit. Yeah, and it just all rips, and he falls all the way down to the bottom. So, yeah, then we go back to the palace where Lady Adastra is, like, trying to get some information out of Romana. And Romana's
not playing ball at all.
Yeah, she's being very snarky. Like, she's in the middle of being snarky, saying a snarky comment, and Lady Adastra just slaps her in the face.
Right in the face!
I didn't super take her seriously as a villain until this point.
I feel like it shocked you.
It did! I wasn't expecting it. I was like, oh shit! Just straight up slapped her in the face, and she's like, stop fucking with me, you're gonna do what I say or else. And then at that point I was like, alright. Because, like, the whole serial's been kind of silly up until this point. Like, even the, like, scary, like, dangerous stuff has been tinged with, like, comedy. And, like, this is the first time I was just like, oh, she means business. And then she's, like, immediately, like, they put in K-9 on the table and she's like, smash the tin dog to bits.
She says, metal's very rare and shouldn't be used on anything as frivolous as toys.
And then Romana's like, don't. Destroy him.
She basically says K-9 has all the information that you want. It is computer brain.
So meanwhile in the pit.
Okie dokie.
Doctor's going around, exploring, finding all sorts of rare metals and such. Then he finds the creature.
Alright, so here's the deal. Let's just do it. Let's just talk about it. The creature is this big green block on one side and on the other side.
That's a great big penis.
It's a big green penis.
It's a big old dick just swinging back and forth.
It's just a green block with a penis on the front, and that's the monster. That's it.
They had to redesign it after
the first time you see it, that's all it looks like. The second time you see it, there's two penises, but one of them has claws on the end.
It's a great big blob with a dick on it.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've given Joe a lot of shit for frequently saying things look like things when they don't. They had to redesign it because people on set, like, couldn't stop laughing when they were using it on set.
What's bad is this isn't the worst part of it. We'll get there eventually, but there's an even worse thing about it.
Yeah, there is. It gets worse. Okay, so we've got it out of the way. We've met the monster. we've described it. What happens next?
And the designer was really dicking around. Already
no,
did
you already did it. That's what I told you. Oh. That's what I told you. You went through all of them right at the top. Now you got nothing.
Balls.
Okay.
So the doctor backs away from it and bumps into a guy whose name is Organon.
Organon is great.
He's like a wizard.
He's an astrologer.
And a seer.
Yeah, he's, I can't remember. I keep wanting to say Lady Astra.
Lady Adrasa.
Lady Adrasa, he's her astrologer.
Well, he was.
He told her that she would get visitors from beyond the stars, and she didn't like that very much and threw him in the pit. And he asked the doctor where he's from. The doctor says, oh, beyond the stars.
Plus, he also he thinks that the doctor is also a seer, initially.
He keeps trying to get the doctor's sign, by the way. And the doctor says he was born under cross computers. Look, the doctor's being flippant here, right?
No, that's 100%
legit. That's 100%
legit.
There's Gallifreyan astrology is amazing. And I desperately want to know the rest of them.
There's probably something out there. But yeah, he thinks the doctor is also a seer, which I want to reiterate here because it involves my title for the next episode. Relies on the fact that you realize that Organon thought the doctor was also a seer. Just saying that. Okay, yeah. He also, like, does this whole, like, patter about, like, how he does the, like, seeing, the searing. What's the term for that? The astrologying?
I know the term.
The prophesizing?
No.
Fortune telling? Reading?
Divinations?
Divinations. And he basically says that he hams it up. He's like, you know, I did the whole rigmarole of, you know, he's like, and I said the visitors brought beyond the stars, which usually gets a pretty good reaction. but this time I got thrown into a pit. And he also sort of talks about Lady Adrasta and how she has this monopoly of metal. She has control of all the metal in this area, and metal is precious. Meanwhile, Torvin, the leader of the Dirty Boys, thinks that the guards will be out looking for them, and since the guards will be out looking for them, they won't be guarding the palace, so now would be a great time to storm the palace and steal some shit.
Just rob it.
So that's what they're gonna do. Meanwhile, back in the pit, the creature arrives again. They don't know what to do, the doctor and Organon. And Organon holds out like he has a candle, and he straight up just burns the penis that's coming towards them. And that seems to work, and it goes away. And the doctor's like, it looks like a huge, it's got this membrane around it. It looks like a huge brain. Let's go follow it. And Organon's like, what? Why? No? We just got rid of it. Why are we going after it? Meanwhile, Romana tries to do a demonstration of what K-9 can do, which means she tries to shoot the guards with K-9 and get out of there, but she is quickly stopped. Lady Adrasta questions K-9 about the TARDIS. He tells her what the TARDIS does, and Lady Adrasta's like, well, I want that now, and I won't need the creature anymore. So she wants to use K-9 to kill the creature in the pit. And then they're like, let's all go into the pit. And Lady Adrasta, like, narrates who all goes into the pit one by one. She's like, you first, and then you, and then you, and then last, me. Like, as they're all going in, I was like, is she reading the stage directions? Doesn't feel like natural dialogue.
Which I think is interesting, because the pit is like, the pit, you put people down there to die. And then the guards are just like, yeah, we can get into the pit. There's a back way, like, right down this hall.
And there's like a whole cave system.
And it's like, now the pits don't seem that, like, the guards aren't afraid of going down there. They're not like, no, we won't go into the pit. There's a monster. They're like, yeah, we'll take the door that goes down to the pit. And it's, like, left of the break room.
How did the creature never escape the pit?
It's too big.
How did they get him out later?
There's a whole plot point about it. I don't remember.
So anyway, Organon's like, what are we going to do if we find it? What are we going to do if we find the creature? And the doctor's like, you don't have a plan? I have a plan. Well, what's the plan? You find the creature. That's a great plan. And then the doctor, Organon, and Lady Adrasta's guards all find the creature. And it's way bigger. Like, we've only seen just the dick and balls. Now we see the whole thing.
No?
That's what it was. That square block, that was the testicles. Now we see it and it's full size and it's huge.
It's just a big blob.
And then it rolls over on top of the doctor, crushes him.
And that is the end of episode 2.
We are now into episode 3, which I have called The Seersucker.
Okay,
We're not to the Seersucker scene yet. That I'm just teasing you a little.
Yikes. Okay.
That's just the tip.
So, the green monster guy seals the door.
With dick magic.
Some of those on your notes, and I was so hoping you weren't going to say it out loud.
He shoots a web out and seals out the door.
It basically becomes a rock.
And it keeps everyone out except the doctor's inside it. The doctor's the only one. Like, everybody was running, and then the doctor was knocked down, so he's the only one inside this room, and this doorway is sealed off, and everybody's outside the door.
Meanwhile, back at the castle, the bandits are, you know, banditing around the place, stealing things, chucking metal into bags. There's this really nice metal duck that, it's not a duck, but it's some kind of bird, that they don't take.
It offended you?
Yeah, I was like, someone take that bird! Steal that bird! It's a nice bird!
Also, we didn't mention earlier, the doctor was, like, studying this thing that was on, behind the Lady Adrasta's throne. And that becomes an important thing later. It's like this shale, this, like, plate that's hanging on her wall. And the doctor asks about it, and she's like, doesn't matter! Leave it alone. It'll become important in the third episode. Leave it alone.
But it's made out of metal, so they steal it.
Yes. Meanwhile, downstairs in the pit, Lady Adrasta needs Canine's help to blow down the shale. So is they're going to get Canine? Skipping. Okay, now let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. The doctor finds the creature again. I don't remember how he got out. He ran away. Now he's come back. And he tries to talk to the creature.
He doesn't know how to communicate with him because he doesn't speak. He doesn't have telepathy. And so the doctor tries a variety of ways to communicate with the creature. Okay, now moving on.
No, what's what? Next?
The bandits try to steal the creature.
Okay, so the doctor grabs the phallic bit and, like, blows into it with his mouth. He's like, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Here's the thing about it.
Who puts their mouth with
No, here's the thing. Because I read, like, we talked about it, that, like, the crew was all laughing about how it looked like a big dick. So it's not like Tom Baker didn't know exactly what he was doing. He did.
Yeah. Okay. I doubt that was in the script. I feel like that was 100% Tom Baker blowing the alien.
And that's one thing. But it's in the episode.
How did this get on TV?
It's just in the episode. It totally makes sense to me that it would, like, happen on set day of, and everyone would be like, holy shit, that's hilarious. Okay, but cut that, though. That's super funny, but don't actually put it in the episode. This is for children.
I bet the editor is like, eh, I'll put that in. They'll tell me to cut it later. Oh, shit, what? They left it in? I thought somebody would tell me no. I thought they'd be like, ha ha, funny, Carl, cut that. They left it in! This was just a series of bad decisions. Or great decisions, because it's amazing.
Which we have to, by the way, update our list.
Of phallic imagery?
Of most phallic props in Doctor Who. I think we're at, what, 3 things are on the list right now?
Well, we have the weird snake camera thing.
The weird snake camera thing in the second Doctor serial.
Protons.
Then some kind of detector.
Was it the tom tit? Yeah.
Was the tom tit the thing that was shaped like a penis, or was it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was the same episode, but I don't think that was the tom tit.
Or no, is it? No. No, that was the thing that, like, searches for the tom tit.
That's the tom tit finder.
The dick-looking thing is trying to find the tom tit.
Tom tit. Well, so... the tom tit detector.
Right.
The snake camera.
Uh-huh.
And now...
But that was from the time monster.
I don't know the time monster. And now the creature.
Which we will learn its name is Erato.
And I do
Which sounds erotic.
I do think somewhere in there should be the...
The ball gun. From Face of Evil?
Yes.
That's not necessarily phallic, though. It's just balls.
Fair enough. I mean, it is two Why did you fall?
Do you know what we forgot entirely?
What?
An entire character. Alpha Centauri.
Oh, that's my friend!
It's a one-eyed dick creature. Look at it. They had to put a cape on it.
But they did put a cape on it, so it's fine.
They put a jimmy on it and was like, looks great.
You be quiet, that's my friend.
It looks like a dick.
So anyway, that's the list.
I completely forgot about Alpha Centauri. That's the list. Well, there's going to be one more coming up later in this very serial. That's why I'm saying, whoever did the design work for this should have been fired. The creature...
They definitely got in trouble at I read that.
Did they?
They got chewed out at the very least, yeah.
That's why they had to redesign it a little bit. The creature draws a picture for the doctor of what it needs. It draws a little dick pic on the wall. It draws that shell, that plate that was hanging up. And that's when the bandits steal it.
Which the doctor, doesn't have to bother going back to go get it. Because the bandits, when they're stealing it, get hypnotized by it.
Well, not immediately. They're first just like, it's hot. And then it's cold. And they're like, let's steal it and let's go into the pit. They don't get hypnotized until, like, they're already in the pit.
Okay, so they get, it's hot and it's cold, and then they go into the pit, and then they get hypnotized by it. Thank you for providing all that super important
They don't get hypnotized until, like, way down here at number 10.
Information. It is super important that everybody got that information.
It eventually hypnotizes the bandits, but that's still a little piece off.
But it happens, we haven't gotten to it yet. It hasn't happened yet.
But they go into the pit of their own free will, because they think there might be more metal in there. Because they just horny for metal. Them dirty boys horny for metal.
I wonder if I can replace you as a host.
Who would do all the talking?
That's why I'm going to get someone to replace you.
Oh, okay. Who?
I don't know. I'll start looking at my guests.
Chris Cherry?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Call Chris then. I'm done.
He'd be worse.
So, the doctor says he's going to go look for that plate, and he finds this piece of shell. He doesn't know what it is. And the creature is like, leave that alone. And he doesn't say that because he doesn't talk, but he basically knocks it out of his hand, like, leave that alone. And the doctor's like, all right, you want me to leave it alone? I'll leave it alone. And he leaves, and then we see his scarf dragging it along with him, and he steals it. And it will become important later in episode 4. Meanwhile, they are using K-9 on the door.
But it's draining his battery packs. It's too hard on him.
And he's also like, it's not really working. I'm tearing into it, but it's regenerating. It's getting stronger and stronger. It's
my poor dog.
It's what's the phrase they use? Tempering the metal?
Yeah.
Which is an actual thing that I sort of knew about. So the door is just getting stronger. And they're like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this door? And then the doctor just walks through it, like breaks it from the other side. Just by walking through it. I believe it's also at this point that the doctor says something about having... Time Lords have 99 lives. And then Romana's like, how many have you went through? And he says, 103. He talks about how he bumped into the creature. And then how he said that he wanted this thing. And then Lady Adrasa is like, what? The creature can't talk without the... It can't talk! And then brushes off. Lady Adrasa keeps trying to like take control of the situation.
She's getting more and more flustered, though.
And, like, she wants K-9 to kill the creature, and the doctor's messing with her, and she lets slip that it's a Tithonian. And the doctor's like, a what now? And she tries to shoot the doc. She picks up K-9, and she tries to shoot the doctor with K-9, but the doctor has a handy mirror that he pulls out of his pocket, and the K-9 beam deflects off the mirror and hits her guards. But then the creature comes in as well.
Wait, that's what happens? I thought Romana had K-9.
Why would Romana try to shoot the doctor?
She did. He put the mirror up because Romana was holding K-9 and she kept shoving, like, make sure K-9's facing a wall. And she kept shoving K-9 up against the wall.
And then the creature comes in and then it's coming for Adrasta. And she pulls a knife on the doctor and is like, I'll kill the doctor unless K-9 shoots the creature. And then the bandits stumble in, hypnotized, and put the plate on the creature. Lady Adrasta freaks out, like, no, 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 no! That's the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, the last episode.
Feels like a completely different serial, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, we wrap things up, like, right at the top of this episode, and then there's, like, a whole other plot that just keeps going. This episode I've called Aluminum Wrap.
Have we explained, by the way, that she... has a monopoly on the only working mine on the whole planet, and that's why there's a metal scarcity.
Like, it's mentioned that she has a monopoly of metal and previously, but yeah, it's like fully comes out in this episode.
It gets important. It's important now.
The bandits put the plate on, their hypnotism wears off, and they get out of there. Like, oh shit, where are we? We gotta get out of here. And the doctor touches the plate, and then the creature starts talking with the doctor's voice. It says its name is Arado, and it was a Tithonian ambassador to Chloris. Chloris is the name of the planet, by the way. We never mentioned that. Chloris.
What? Chloris.
Like chlorophyll.
Right.
Which is a thing. Canine is covered by wolf weeds, because Lady Drasta is still trying to take control of the situation, and she threatens to kill Organon, and the doctor's like, I don't care. Do what you're gonna do.
Which he takes so much offense to. I mean, he gets out, and later there's a scene where it's just him and Romana, and he's like, the doctor didn't care at all! He was like, oh man, sorry about that. Wish he didn't have to die, but he was gonna let me die! And Romana's like, he wasn't gonna let you die. He knew. I feel like he had it. Don't take it personally. He's like, he was! And Romana's like, no, it's fine.
The doctor and everybody forces Lady Adrasta to touch the plate herself.
Because Lady Adrasta basically says, well, it's talking with his voice. He's just saying whatever. Because at this point, like, even, like, her people are like, hey, what? What's right. happening? Because
they thought this was just a creature.
Yeah, and he specifically is saying, I came here to offer metal, because you guys don't have any, in exchange for
chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll, which you guys have a lot of, and we don't have enough of. And so, like, all of her people are starting to kind of turn on her.
And, like, when she puts her hand on it, it's coming from her voice, and he's, like, says all this, and, like, but she wanted to have the monopoly, so she threw the creature in the pit, and fucked everybody over. And then the guards turn on Adrasta, and the huntsman snaps his whip, and the wolf weeds cover Adrasta, and then Arado falls on top of the Adrasta and the wolf weeds.
He just
eats the wolf weeds.
He just fucking eats them.
They're Brussels sprouts. He's gotta have his vegetables. And he's like, I haven't eaten anything good in like years. I've been down here for a while.
At all. Because they've been throwing people, but he doesn't eat people, so supposedly the people just die of starvation.
Well, there's one dead dude. I feel like most of them probably die just from falling down.
That's true.
So we find out that the egg is a ship and was sending a distress signal.
So it wasn't an egg.
I mean, it technically is an egg. He wove it as a shell. It's like a shell.
That doesn't make it an egg.
It's not an egg, but it's a shell.
Okay.
The doctor's sort of giving all the exposition. Roman is asking him questions, and he just keeps saying, yes, yes, yes. And she's like, can you say anything other than yes? And he goes, yes. And then he starts saying things, and then she starts saying yes in reply to him, and I thought it was a very cute scene. He basically said that Arato seemed to be in a hurry to get out of there, as if he was escaping something. But the doctor has its ship drive, which is that piece of...
It's a little piece he had on his scarf.
So the bandits overhear this, and they're like, should we do anything about this? And they're like, nah, it's too much effort. And then Kerala, the Iago, overhears them and follows them. And this is the point where I'm like, why is this serial still going? Why are we starting a whole new thread here? Everything should be wrapped up. Why is this still happening?
It's completely wrapped up, because...
They sort of introduced new elements.
Yeah. We haven't gotten the guy out of the pit.
No, he's already out of the pit.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because the doctor's about to go talk to him and be like, hey, what are you trying to get away from?
Yeah, this idea that, like, he's trying to get off the planet because there's some impending doom is like, okie dokie.
The doctor talks to Rato, who says they have 24 hours to live. The Tithonians are on their way. Because they kidnapped him, and like that would start a war.
It's a pretty aggressive move.
And the doctor's like, well, why don't you just call him and say, hey, I'm fine, don't come for me. He's like, well, it's not really there coming for me.
Not don't come, but don't blow everything up.
You know, he's like, well, they've already sent a star, a neutron star. It's on its way, and you can't stop it. And it's going to blow up everything, destroy it. They're sending a star to crash into their sun, right? That's what he says. Meanwhile, Organon is studying a chart. And says there's something in the stars, and it means trouble. And then he gets hit over the head. We don't know by who, but it's Corella. And she takes the drive that he was holding onto for the doctor. Just overcomplicating things. So the doctor asks Arato if he can make some aluminum. Which, he's like, yes, that's what Arato can do, is make metal. So, he's like,
it's a thing that they do. So they're gonna wrap aluminum
around the star.
Around the star. And what does that do?
They're gonna slingshot it somewhere else.
That's just weird enough that I feel like it has to make some kind of sense.
They asked, like, scientists about it. I read that on the Wikipedia. They asked, like, an institute, and that's what they suggested was the aluminum suggestion.
I don't understand what that means or why it would work. But yeah, it's just random enough some scientists had to have said that, because a writer wouldn't have come up with it.
But they can't do this plan because they don't have the drive. Because the ship can't take off, because he's going to have to, like, fly around the star and weave the aluminum around it. They're going to use the TARDIS to stabilize the star while he does the aluminum around it. Because he can't just fly around a moving star. So they have to get the drive first. So they figure out that Corella has it. She has followed the bandits, the dirty boys, to their tent. And she straight up stabs Torvin. And as he's falling down, he's like looking at the sword and he goes, "Tempered steel." Like, he's still horny for that metal. Even in his dying breath. Horny till he dies.
Disgusting.
She sort of takes control of the dirty boys, but that doesn't last for very long because the doctor comes in and just reprimands her.
What was her plan exactly?
She was going to take control of this army and then storm the castle, I guess, and then have her own. She was going to keep the creature, maybe? To make more metal. I don't know. But the doctor has K-9 destroy all of the metal because he says something like, "You would sacrifice everything for wealth," and she's like, "Yes." And then K-9 destroys all the metal, and then she's like, "All right, fine, I give up." Like, this whole plot with her and the dirty boys, it seems...
They were short on time.
Yeah, it seems, like, unnecessary.
Yeah.
But they get the drive back, the egg ship flies, the TARDIS stabilizes the neutron star while the egg weaves some aluminum around it, then the TARDIS fucks up somehow, and the star starts coming at them, just to up the stakes a little bit, and then they dematerialize. I believe there was some point in there where Romana's like, "Do you want to know the odds of this actually working?" And the doctor's like, "No, don't tell me the odds." And then after they don't die, she's like, "The odds of surviving that were like..." And she says, like, this ridiculously large number.
To one.
And the doctor's like, "Huh, that's peculiar." And then he repeats the number and says, "Is my lucky number." Then Gorgonon is doing another reading about something about...
Something tall and dark. He sees something tall and dark and, like, he's got a crystal ball.
And then the TARDIS appears and the doctor pops out and goes, "Tall, dark, and handsome. Yep, that's me." And he delivers a trading agreement between Chloris and Tithonus, or however you pronounce it. And then he gets out of there and Organon goes back into doing his seer work. Like, he reads the trading agreement over the guy's shoulder and then he's like, "There will be a trading agreement." It's really funny, but then he, like, does this weird thing where he crosses his fingers and touches his lips with them.
He crosses his fingers. He actually, like, straightens his mustache.
With his crossed fingers.
With his crossed fingers. And that fucking bizarre shot is the one they choose to go out on.
Oh, you know what? We skipped over the other thing that looks like a penis.
What?
The egg ship, when it takes off.
Does it look like a penis?
It looks like the head of a penis.
See, again, I think you get a little penis happy. Like, you see one phallic image.
Oh, and I you're get like, very penis happy.
And you're like, it's all phallic imagery. All of it. That's a phallus. And that's a phallus. And that's a phallus. And it's like, is it though? Yeah. Actually? Oh.
You say this and then I show it to you and you're like, okay.
That doesn't, to me, that looks like a butt plug.
I mean, slightly, but also looks like a pierced penis, because it's got the little thing up there. Just the head of the penis, not like...
It's a butt plug.
That could be a butt plug. So we've had a tit, a penis, and a butt plug.
It's not...
However you look at it, the designer should be fired.
Anyway.
That's the end of the serial. That's the end of Creature from the Pit. Man, I think we should do that all over again. We've really cocked it up. Oh, I already
you
did that.
You already one. Did it. This is what I was telling you. I tried to warn you.
I feel like such a wiener.
That is nothing.
I can't think of any other words for, like, penis. You got anything? I feel like we need to end strong.
It's too late.
We need a strong climax.
It's too late.
We'll be back with final thoughts.
How deep?
DragonCon 2019 is fast approaching, so fill up your buckets of rum and keep up with the latest news, announcements, interviews, and mispronunciations of guest names as only the Con Report podcast crew can make. Let us be your guide each month as we count down to the big event on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite media play. Listen to the DragonCon Con Report. It's almost as good as being there, but without the long lines, smelly gamers, and hangover.
Hey, Tony, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, it is...
Oh, why do I ask?
8:21 p.m. Do you know what's fun about this part of the podcast is that people listening at home always know exactly what time we're recording the show. And they could be like, this is when I tell them, it's 11:15, they'll be like... That's why this one's the way it is. They recorded it pretty late. That's why they're being... It gives context to, like, really the whole podcast. And I think it also, like, makes us all feel more connected. That's why I like this part of the podcast.
What comes after that part?
Just the part where we all share in this moment of knowing what time it is.
And then after that?
And then after that is the moment where everyone's like, ha! That Tony, she's hilarious. I love her. And then the podcast is over.
No.
You finish doing your dishes or walking your dog or whatever it is that you're doing while you are listening to us talk about Doctor Who and penises for an hour and 15 minutes.
It'll be a lot less than that. You will drop how long we've been recording to, and then people will be listening and be like, well, we're only at, like, 39 minutes, because I cut a shit ton out of this.
There's a lot of times where we aren't funny or interesting.
Or there's just times where we go, it's time.
Do you want me to say it?
Yes, it's your job.
Hey, Joseph.
Yeah?
Do you know what time it is?
What time is it? It's time for final thoughts!
Hey, I get to say that!
You stole my name at the beginning of this thing.
Fair enough.
Final thoughts!
My final thoughts are, I really enjoyed this serial for 3 1/4 episodes. I feel like it started off really strong. It was really funny. I thought the dialogue was really good. The whole bit about, we call it the pit, and we call it the creature and all that stuff was absolutely hilarious. Maybe it was a little too silly at times, like teach yourself Tibetan, but like I still like thought that
it's
was
still
hilarious.
A good bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of good bits. And I thought the plot was decent enough. And as much as we've like joked about it, it's still funny watching a big penis. There's never going to be a time that I don't laugh at a dick joke on Doctor Who specifically. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And then in episode 4, things should have wrapped up and they didn't. And then we had this sort of this side plot with Corella and the Dirty Boys that I was just like, what are we doing here? I don't like it. And then it ended. And then I was like, the end of it was fine. The aluminum star thing was maybe a bit weird, but it worked and it was fine. And yeah, all in all, I thought it was pretty good. A little wobbly on the dismount. How about you?
Hey.
Yeah?
You know what a good title for the cereal would be?
What? What? Why are you giggling so much? Just say it.
I think you could call this cereal the Green Bulge.
Oh, fuck you! No! God damn it,
that
no!
That would be a great name for the cereal!
It was my knee! The Green Bulge. God damn it.
A great name for a great cereal.
Mm-hmm. Alright. Fine. Tell me your final thoughts and get out of my face.
My final thoughts. 1. You should call this cereal the Green Bulge. That's great. 2.
Should we explain what that is?
I feel like we've covered it in the podcast before. I wish I had, like, the number so I could just be like, go listen to episode 56 and, like, 10 minutes in. I tell the story. Actually, I think it's Gonza's first episode.
Yeah, that's probably true. I can sum it up real quick. I was filming a thing with a green screen. I was holding up the green screen myself. There was an unfortunate bulge in the green screen that was my knee. It was my knee.
Uh-huh.
But everyone thinks it was my penis. It was my knee. Probably.
But we refer to it as the Green Bulge. Yes. Which is what the creature is.
Alright, I'm going to get back to your final thoughts.
And this is another one that's there's not much to say. So mad. It's just sort of silly and fun. There's not like a tremendous amount of depth to it.
Other than the pit.
I was going to say, which is kind of a weird thing to say about a serial where, like, at the end there's all this political nonsense going on. Like, this one person literally kept a person in a pit for... They gave the amount of time. It was a really long amount of time for political reasons so that they could have power. But, like, ultimately that's all in the last episode, and the rest of it's very silly and light and fluffy, and there's not much to this one other than that it's silly and fun to watch. And that's it. That's okay. No one's gonna remember anything else about this one anyway, because the Doctor blows a monster in it. If this was, like, the best serial ever, no one would ever fucking know. Because it would still be, like, the one where the Doctor blows that monster. If the rest of this episode was fucking Blink, we'd never know.
To be fair, that happened with a new Who episode. Like, there's a decent episode of Doctor Who, but all that anyone remembers about it is the fucking blowjob joke.
Listen,
at the end.
You're absolutely right. Love and Monsters is 90% a really good episode of Doctor Who. 90% a really good episode. It is fun to watch. The fucking main character, Elton, is cute and adorable. And it's just the last 10% of it, that's all you remember. It's the worst fucking joke ever made. You're absolutely right. Love and Monsters. This could have been, this, but it wasn't Love and Monsters, because instead it was just fluff, so it's fine.
And you said about, you're talking about putting all the political stuff in the end thing, and some of that is, some of the political stuff is shoved into that weird side plot that literally starts in the last episode with the bandits and Cruella, and, like, you know, more about, you care more about wealth than you do people and all that stuff, and that, like, is shoved into, like, the last 5 minutes in, like, a weird B plot.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, quick, put a moral in it.
So it doesn't work.
But yeah, it's a fun one. That's it. That's all I gotta say. You wanna plug some stuff?
Yeah, I plugged this last episode, but I'm gonna plug it again. I'm on an episode of a podcast called Story of the Story. My episode's probably out by now. It's hosted by my friend Jeff Hewitt. He interviews authors about their favorite thing that they've written. I talk about Road Trippy, which is a novel I co-wrote with Ray Friesen and Chris Cherry, previous guests of the podcast, and that should be out now, so go listen to that, subscribe, rate, whatever you do. And also, I want to do a plug for another podcast, actually two podcasts in one. Well, first off, previous guest Chris Cherry and Brie Castellini, friend of Rassilon, who you may know from Brie and Chris Are Depressed, or Sam and Pat Are Depressed. Or their
We've guested on Brie and Chris Are Depressed,
which is a podcast about their show, Sam and Pat Are Depressed. They have recently started a new podcast, Burn Noticed. They're going to watch every episode of Burn Notice and do a podcast.
Burn Notice.
Yeah, it's basically this show, but with Burn Notice.
Oh, shit. It is.
It is. They ripped us off.
We invented the idea of watch-along podcasts.
Yes.
We didn't.
But to be fair, we ripped them off right back. We have started another...
No, this is a completely... We came out with a completely new and original podcast wherein we listened to Burn Noticed, the podcast Burn Noticed, and we discuss and critique the episode of the podcast and how good of an episode it was. We didn't say this in the kind of the introduction episode, but I've decided that we have criteria for judging the episode for how good we think it was. But I also think we need to take a look at Brie and Chris's relationship and analyze if they've grown closer together or farther apart or remain neutral. Right. Over the course of the episode.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
So that's another bit of criteria we will be using to talk about the episodes of Burn Noticed.
And that podcast is, the one that we are doing, is called Burn Noticed, which the first episode is up now. I'm not sure if we're on iTunes yet, but we might be on iTunes.
We'll go on iTunes on account of it will cost us money.
Oh, no, I figured out a way to do it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So you can follow us on Twitter you can follow them on Twitter at Burn Noticed Pod, and you can follow us on Twitter at BNN Pod.
Because Burn Noticed Pod was
too long.
Too many words. Which, it's... going to be a lot shorter, because the only way that I could like really agree to keep doing it, I think specifically the words I used was like the amusement to effort ratio was right, which means we're going to probably be like, you know, recording them for like 10 minutes tops, like on our lunch break. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really short, obviously silly. If like you just like the two of us bullshitting, there you go.
And also,
it'll be 10 extra minutes of us bullshitting.
I'm going to be I want to also say, I'm going to be watching Burn Notice.
I won't. I refuse.
Along with Chris and Brie, because I want to listen to their episodes and know what the hell they're talking about. Tony's not going to watch Burn Notice.
Because here's the thing. I don't want the podcast to become us talking about Burn Notice. It very specifically is us talking about the podcast Burn Noticed. Right. And so if we both watch Burn Notice, that's what it's going to become.
Yeah.
I'm not watching Burn Notice to keep us on task, because I will only have the information that I gain from the podcast.
I think that's good, because I feel like you will have an insight into how good is this podcast for people who've never seen Burn Notice. And I will have the insight of how good is this podcast for someone who has seen Burn Notice.
And that's gonna be our dynamic over the course of the podcast.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's probably not going to happen, but I think Vince hinted at the fact that maybe he should start a podcast called Burn Notice, Noticed, Noticed.
If you want to start Burn Notice, 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 please let us know. We will retweet you.
Also, if you want to go ahead and start Burn Notice, 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 Noticed, you can go ahead and start that one before Burn Notice, Notice, Notice.
And we'll guest on it.
Yeah?
Yeah?
We'll guest on any variation of Burn Notice, 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 Notice.
Yeah, we'll come on any version of it.
Burn Notice squared.
Unless you're also doing it, one about Burn Noticed, and then we're gonna fucking fight. Because I had this idea first. Fuck off.
Yeah, no podcast about Burn Noticed, but it can
we
be about
already
any
did that.
Subsequent.
We're already doing that one, and this is what it's going to be like, probably. So there you go. I just want to tell you to please watch Unseen World. If you don't have Roku, by the way, and you don't have any other way of watching the Unseen World, you can go to TonyBheath.com. And you can click on the section for the Unseen World, and you can see a little, I think there's a couple of full packages on there, maybe just the one, Closet of the Spiderweb, but that's a really good one, which is why I put it on my website. So if you're curious about it and would like to check it out that way, you can. Also just, you know, check out my website and let me know how it looks, because I just made it for the first time. I had like a really old, broken, I think it was a Tumblr, that like my URL used to go to, and I finally was like, I need to have like a nice looking website. So I sat down and made it. Also on the website, there's a Rassilon section, which just has all of our episodes, and it's just a RSS feed that updates. So you can listen to the Watchathon of Rassilon from my website if you want.
I also want to say, if you do have the Roku, download the Heartland Network app, and that's what you can see all of the episodes of the Unseen World.
Yes. They're really good. I'm really proud of them. We're starting pre-production on season 2 right now, and we've got a couple of places lined up that I'm really excited about. We're doing Frozen Dead Guy Days in Colorado. Well, I have one person confirmed as an interview. I don't have anybody else, but it's a really, really cool, fun story that I am excited about. So I don't have anything more like lined up than that. Because we're still in the like figuring it all out stage of where we're going to be going next, and then comes actually calling people and scheduling things, which is probably my least favorite. My most favorite is editing.
I just saw somebody tweet at us. Hey, JashCraft88, thanks for listening to our podcast.
Hey, thanks, Jessica.
Jessica, I've been doing this classic Doctor Who watch through, and I let over 4 seasons go by without giving a shout out to my companion on this journey. Watch your ass.
Aww.
Super fun and educational. Joe Fax podcast. Making the same journey as I am. Give them a listen.
Thanks.
And I just responded, you're going to have a surprise. You're going to have a surprise a good handful of episodes later. And then I winked. So I just.
This would be like years.
I know.
She's in season 4.
She gave up on this podcast ages ago. If you liked this episode of the podcast, check out more on WatchYourRassilon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic.
The more reviews we have, the more other people can find us. And the more people listen to our podcast and share our podcast and talk about our podcast, the more powerful I become as a human being. So please feed me.
And if you leave a review, I generally post them to our social media to say thanks. So we'll give you a little shout out there, too.
So just go in, leave a review, and it can just be an ad for your podcast. And we'll rebroadcast that ad on our page. And, like, we'll just all help each other out.
And if you want to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourasslon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. We have a Discord where we talk to all of our patrons at any level. And also, we do bonus episodes. We just recorded one about candy cigarettes.
I thought it turned out great.
I liked it, too. Also, on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You're a meme! Follow him wherever the fuck you want to follow him. Also want to give a special shout out to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their stuff on swinglish.nu. And tune in next time when we talk about Nightmare of Eden with returning guest Felicity Cousinitz.
Aw, yay!
Sort of the podcast. But until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic parasocial way.
Penis!
No!
There's another 6 inches to add to your collection, old man.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.